Good morning and Boker Tov. Welcome back to Parsha Perspectives for today. I want to thank, as always, our generous Parsha series sponsors, Becky and Avi Katz and family. In memory of David Grossman, Le'ila Nishmas, David Ben Menachem Manish. We say that every single week, not only when his daughter-in-law and grandson are here, but welcome. It's great to have you from Eretz Yisrael. Thank you for being here. This morning's shiur is also sponsored by Yanina and Gordon Haas. In memory of Yanina's father, Hyman Leichtman, whose yahrzeit is tomorrow, Zayin Nisan, and the Shama Shedav and Aliyah. Thank you so much for your generosity. We have the privilege of the Shabbos Hagadol, the great Shabbos, of learning and reading Parshas Tzav, page 568 in the Art Scroll Stone Chumash. Vaydaber Shama Moshe Lemor, Tzavas Aaron Vezbanav Lemor, command Aaron and his son, saying, Zos Torah Sa'olah, this is the law of the Korban Ola. Hi Ha'olah La'magdam Amazbeach Kol Alayla Ad HaBoker Ve'esh Amazbeach Tukad Bo. This is the law of the elevation offering, the Korban Ola, which is entirely consumed on the altar. It stays in the flame all night until the morning, until it's entirely burnt, until it is entirely consumed. We're not going to spend time. We have previously, you could find it in previous shiurim, the word Tzav. Tzav es Aaron vezbanav lemor. We don't find that word so often. Rashi tells us, Ein Tzav el Lashon Zeros Miyad Uledoros. When we see that word Tzav employed, it is to remind us, it is an allusion, a hint. It evokes a sense of zeros, alacrity, zeal, enthusiasm. Don't be lazy or lethargic. Don't sit back and procrastinate. But trying to inspire the Kohanim to embrace this mitzvah, to go run and to do it. Miyad, immediately. And Ladoros, in perpetuity. Give it to generations to come. Why would I think the Kohanim would hesitate? We're talking about the Kohanim. We have a tradition, Chazal, the Gemara regularly refers to Kohanim as Zeruzim. They're people who act with alacrity. So why do they need to be instructed? Tzav, give an extra special command. Light a fire under the Kohanim. Why would they hesitate? Why would they be reluctant? So Rashi tells us, because Chesron Kis, it costs them. Anytime you have to spend your own money, anytime you have to look in your wallet or bank account or see what it's going to cost you, how much is the matzah? How much is the kosher Pesach, whatever? So you need a shtickle tzav. You need a little bit of a little push. So why is that? What was the Chesron Kis over here? Korban Ola was a Korban Tzibur. Kohanim didn't pay for it. So how did it cost them? Why'd they have to look in their wallet? Where'd that cost come from? You can listen to previous years. We discussed that at length. I'm going to jump right over to the Kli Yakar. The Kli Yakar later in Perek Zayin, Pasuk Yud Aleph, points back and says, no less than five times in our parsha, we have this expression in introducing a phrase, Zos Toras. This is the Torah, this is the law. Why does it appear five times? You don't have to be the Kli Yakar to play word association here. Five times it says, Zos Torah, so this is the Torah, alluding to, thank you, Chamishei Chumshei Torah, because five books of the Torah, five times Zos Torah, this is the law. Vehim keneged Chamishei Chumshei Torah. Hosek b'sefer Bereishis Domei Ki L'Hikar of Ola. So the Korban Ola is corresponds with the book of Bereishis. I'm not going to do the work for you. I'm going to deposit the Kli Yakar's idea and give you homework. What is the connection between a Korban Ola, this elevation offering that's entirely consumed on the altar, and the book of Bereishis? Sefer Shmos is like the Korban Mincha, the flower offering. Hosek b'Sefer Vayikra is like a Chatas. Our book, Sefer Vayikra, is like a sin offering. Sefer Bamidbar, Ki'ilu Hikrav Asham. Hosek B'Sefer Dvarim, Ki'ilu Hikrav Shlamim. So, why? What do each have to do with the other? What's the correlation? What is the deeper connection? Why would we say Zos Toras, the five Chumashim, how the Chumashim correspond with the Karbanos? That is homework for you to do on your own. But a fascinating, fascinating connection. The beautiful new Sefer, the Imros Tahoros, the Rach Mishlitzker Rebbe, I'm going to get his name correct. I'm going to pronounce it eventually correctly. It's a tongue twister. But he quotes, he brings down from the Zeru Shamar HaKosov, Tzavis Aaron, Zos Toras HaOla, Afla Achar Churban Beis HaMikdash, Adan Yeh Shalavi Korban Ola Yidei. What happens? Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. We don't have Mizbeach. We don't have Korbanos. But we seek the same closeness. The root of the word Korban is Karov. Leos Karov, we want to draw close to Hashem. We don't have the same means. We don't have the same mechanism. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash. So how do we draw close? How do we achieve atonement or kapara? What do we do? Adayin Yeh Shalavi Korban Ola. We can still bring an Ola. How? ayidei ha'isik b'torah, shenechshav ka'akravas ola, v'zeo shepirish Rashi, ein sav alashon ziruz, miyad uladoros. Klamar, inyan ha'akravas ha'ola, nogea bein miyad u'bein ladoros. The korban ola was given not only immediately, so the Jewish people who received that command could fulfill it on the spot immediately. It wasn't only miyad, it was also ladoros for generations to come. Klamar inyan ha'akravas ha'ola nogea bein miyad bein ladoros, miyad ha'idei avas korban ola b'pol. Uladoros ha'asidim b'zman she'im b'ez ha'mikdash kayim be'emtzaz lima torah sa'ola. U'neshalma parmas v'aseinu, the pasuk tells us that when we can no longer in act and behavior, when we can no longer bring the karbanos, when we read them, when we recite them, when we learn them, it is as if we've done them. So learning Torah, when we learn these Torahs of the karbanos, these Torahs of these parashios, when we learn Torah bechlal, when we learn Torah in general, ola, that's how we elevate ourselves. We transcend the physical world. We transcend that animal impulse and animal instinct. We transcend the here and now, and we make contact with eternity and immortality when we study, when we learn Torah. When we open these books and these words come alive and we access the ultimate truth, the blueprint of creation, the manual for meaningful living, when we engage the words of the divine, when we read Hashem's diary, we transcend the physical, the here and now. It's a korban ola. We elevate above the here and now. Rashi quotes this chazal, this teaching. When do the kohanim need a little extra alacrity, a little extra fire, a little extra push? When do they need it? In a place of chesur and kiss, when there is an expense. Hainu, who's the one who said that teaching? Rabbi Shimon. Who's Rabbi Shimon? The Gemara Brachos Lamed Hei tells us. A famous machlokas, a famous debate. Rabbi Shimon l'shitasi d'sfir leisha tzrichan l'lmud l'agos b'torah b'li heref. We have a machlokas over there. Torah only or Torah end? Should we sit and learn, live in poverty, be indigent, be supported by others, rely on others? But learning Torah is the best zach. Learning Torah is the only zach. Learning Torah is the very definition of life. It is everything. It is the only thing. So there's no Torah end. There's no Torah im. No Torah in Derech Eretz. No Torah in Mada. No Torah in Parnassa. No Torah in... Just Torah. Just Torah. Or, should we do Torah and Parnassa? Torah and an education. Torah and Malacha. So who's the one who says only Torah? No Torah end. No Torah im, only Torah. It's Reb Shimon. Efshriyeh Adam Chorish B'Shas Chorish V'Zorah B'Shas Zriya Ti'im Kain Torah Matehela. It's the great Tana Reb Shimon who said, you know, once you start getting occupied and preoccupied with earning a living, if you're plowing in the plowing season and you're planting in the planting season and you're harvesting in the harvesting season and then it becomes the plowing season, Torah Matehela. What's going to be? You always have the next deal, the next client, the next customer, the next business, the next parnasa responsibility. Torah matahela, v'af bezmana makashim shbnei adam nimtzayim bedochak, v'ein apruta mitzuya bekis, af apichei niyefshel aniach melasak haTorah. So it doesn't matter that you're going to be poverty. You're going to be living with little. Still, Torah is what there is. V'zeh shamar Reb Shimon biyoseh tzarech hakos lezaris leisak haTorah b'makom sheyesh chesron kis. Now we don't paskin like Reb Shimon. The Gemara quotes a alternative opinion, and we paskin like. Not Reb Shimon, we paskin. What? We paskin that many tried and they failed, and that we have to combine Torah learning with Torah living and applying it in the world and providing for ourselves, and that's what Hashem wants us to do. But Reb Shimon is the same Reb Shimon who says over here, the Torah mateala korban ola. Today, when we have no Beis HaMikdash, the equivalent of the Korban Ola is by sitting and learning full-time. Sitting and learning full-time, you know what that's going to cost you? Chesron Kis. Now, if you have a father, a father-in-law, a grandfather, a grandfather-in-law who's supporting you while you're learning full-time, it's their Chesron Kis, not yours. But the truth is, long-time learners, full-time learners, so Chesron Kis. You're giving up the possibility of parnasa, the education, or the income that you could be, and that's the same Reb Shimon. He says, the same Reb Shimon is the one who's telling us that because there's a chesron kiss, it needs a little tzav, it needs lashon zrizus, because you're going to be giving something up. You're going to be giving something up. Okay, weiter. Perek Vav Pasuk Hey. We speak about the Mizbeach, the altar. And the altar in the Mishkan, in the Beis HaMikdash, had an unusual feature. Even though the sacrifices were not being offered and burnt and elevated around the clock, nevertheless, the fire, Ha'esh al Mizbeach Tukad Bo, Lo Sechbe, the eternal light. In shuls, we replicate this. We have a ner tamid that's burning regularly. The fire can't go out. Lo sechpe. Uvier ala kohen yitzim baboker baboker. The kohanim shall kindle the wood upon it every morning. V'yarach ala ola and prepare the ola v'gdir ala chavei ha-shlamim and burn the fats of the shlam. We cannot allow it to go out. It must remain lit. It must remain lit all the time. It must remain lit all the time. Rav Volpe points out something very interesting on this pasuk. We know that the human being is compared to a fire. Kiner Hashem Nishmas Adam. We know that because when we think of a soul, when we think of a person who is no longer, this Pesach, there'll be Yizkor on the eighth day, people will light a Yizkor candle. Person observes a Yahrzeit, they light a candle. Chalila, person sits Shiva, they light a seven-day candle. Why? Because the Neshama is captured in a flame. There are so many similarities, we've shared so many times. The flame flickers, it always flickers up, no matter which direction you hold the candle. You can point the candle down, but the flame always rises up, just like the neshama. No matter which direction you hold the guf, the body is drawn to this world, the material, the physical pleasures of this world, the animal pleasures of this world, the base pleasures of this world, but the soul always flickers up. The soul always yearns. The soul is always climbing, it's flickering, it's always trying to rise, to go higher and higher. Just like the flame of a candle, you can't grab it, you can't hold it, but you know it's there, it's undeniable because you feel its warmth and you benefit from its light. Similarly, the soul of a person, once it's been extracted from the body, can't bottle, you can't grab on, it's not tangible, but you could feel the warmth and you can benefit from the illumination and the light. Kiner Hashem Nishmas Adam, the soul of a person is like the flame, like the light of a candle. And just like the fire in the Mizbeach can never go out, the fire in our lives can never go out. It must burn. Eish al Mizbeach Tukad Bo. We have to be on fire. We have to remain on fire. We can never, ever let that fire in us be extinguished. Rav Volpe points out on this pasuk something very interesting. He said, in all of the fields of study, science, mathematics, history, think of all of the fields of study. The question is, what is it? What is it? Let's define our terms. Let's offer a hypothesis and test it. Let's prove a theory. What is it? But the Torah doesn't answer the question, what is it? The Torah addresses the question, what does it have to do with me? The Torah is not only concerned theoretically and conceptually, academically and in the abstract. What is it? How do we define it? The Torah in the here and now, in this world and in this life, the Torah says, what's my relationship? What does this mean for me? How do I connect to it? And that's so critically important. In many ways, that is the very definition of what Torah is. What Torah is. Torah is not academic. It doesn't remain in your head. They say about Aristotle, who once acted terribly immorally and was confronted that he was contradicting his own ethics and morality. And he responded, he said, I'm Aristotle from the neck up. My brain, my head, philosophically, from the neck up. Several years ago, there was a professor in an Ivy League college. He was a professor, one of the world's experts on the issue of the philosophy of morality, who engaged in absolute immoral behavior with his students and in the university. Because when something remains academic, and conceptual and abstract and philosophical, when we say, I am moral in my, from the neck up, it doesn't filter, it's not absorbed, it doesn't inspire, it doesn't inform who I am, it doesn't transform who I am, then what is it? That's not Torah. That's not Torah. That's why it says, Torah, when it comes to Torah, there's Torah in the world. Chachma begayim tamin, Torah al tamin. Chachma means there's wisdom. There's tremendous wisdom, but the wisdom that transforms, that molds, that shapes, that is Torah, is different. So says Rav Volpe, if we were to ask a scientist, what is fire? We'd get a detailed answer of fire's properties. It's gas. That's about all I know about fire. I've just exhausted my knowledge. I don't know. What's the temperature of fire and the fuel of fire, the gas of fire? What else? We've got some smart people actually in this room. That's all that we know. But the Torah, on the other hand, says, regarding the relationship we have with fire. Fire is one of the Dalet Avos Nezikin. We have four meta-categories of damages, and fire is one of them. person has to watch over their coals, watch over their fire. We're responsible for the damage of fire. That fire travels, it damages elsewhere, but if I ignited or lit, the fire started under my watch, then I'm responsible, I have to compensate for that damage. There are mitzvahs that are done with fire, such as our parsha, Esh tamid tukan al mizbeach lo sechpeh. You have to have a fire burning on the mizbeach all the time. You have to light the candles for Shabbos. You have to light the Havdalah candle on Motzei Shabbos. Next week, or La Arbasar, Tuesday night, we're going to light a candle to search for the chametz. The other bookend, Pesach begins and ends with fire. It begins with fire, we use a candle to search, and it ends with fire. We use a candle again to search for the memory and the souls of our loved ones through Yizkor, who are no longer here. That was a little mini Yizkor drasha for you. So fire has many mitzvos. Fire appears in many places in our ritual in our Torah. And what Revolba is pointing out is that the Torah doesn't say, what is fire? You won't find a section, a narrative in Torah that says, let's examine the properties of fire, let's define fire. What we say is, what is the relationship with fire? Where does fire come into our lives? What is the symbolism of fire? How can fire inspire us to be on fire? And this also holds true with Hashem. The Torah doesn't tell us, okay, we're going to define Hashem. Let's prove, let's bring evidence for the existence of Hashem. The Torah says, what's your relationship with Hashem? Do you feel His presence? Do you talk to Him? Do you love Him? Do you invest in Him? Do you surrender to Him? That Hashem wrapped Himself kiviyachol. Mis'atev betalas, Chazal said, the Gemara Rosh Hashanah Yud Zayin. And He gave us the Yud Gimel Midos. So the Shlach quotes the Gaonim, explaining the reciting 13 Midos. We don't simply say them, we emulate them, we imitate them. Torah, the Maral, Rav Olba quotes, comes from the word Hora'ah. Hora'ah means an instruction. We don't have a knowledge which is abstract and academic and conceptual. Then we close the book and we leave it on the shelf, and now we go live the lives that we want. Torah is what informs our life. I've said this now several times, this phrase, and I still reserve the right to expand upon it somewhere, sometime, but I heard this great expression that we don't read and learn and study for information, we read and learn and study for transformation. That's the difference. If you're learning Torah for information, it's chokhmah, not Torah. It's just knowledge. It's just information. It's just facts. It's just data. Torah has to, by definition, be studied not for information, but for transformation. In many ways, that's what we're going to do next week. And maybe I'm foolishly giving away what could be a Pesach drasha, so I'll stop there. But the Seder night is not about transferring information. The Seder night is about experiencing and creating a setting for transformation. And if the next morning you woke up with a lot of information, it was an unsuccessful Seder. I don't care how thick your Haggadah is, how many gematrias and vortlach and highfalutin lumdus and crazy questions, or what time your Seder finished early in the wee hours of the morning. If all it did was promote information, it was a failure. The entire Seder is a platform for transformation. So Rav Olba just happens on this pasuk to offer this insight. That we're not interested in defining fire. That's not what the Torah is. Torah is hora'ah. It's an instruction for, not information, but transformation. And that has to inform our classroom, and that has to inform the greatest classroom our children have, which is our homes. We're so busy today with trying to transfer information. Memorize facts, names, dates, people in Tanakh, halacha, lamites, malachas, yedias, klalios, spit it back. So we have zombies who can spit back incredible amounts of information. But do they feel it? Do they have a relationship with Hashem? They could tell you all these things about Hashem. Have they ever spoken to Him? Have they ever heard Him speaking to them? Esham is beach, where's the fire? We have to be on fire. We have to be on fire. Rav Soloveitchik also has a comment here. Zogt Rav Soloveitchik, Esham is beach. He points out just factually, the Mishnah Avos, the fifth parak of Avos, says that one of the miracles associated with the Beis HaMikdash was that rain never extinguished this fire. Because you'll say, Esham is beach, tukad lo sechpeh. We've had so little water, rain. I came out last night, I was at an event and it was raining, and I just forgot what that was like. I was like, what is this? What's happening? Oh yeah, sometimes water falls from the sky. I don't know if you know, because we have indoor plumbing, and we think we never have a problem, but in Florida we have a major drought. We've barely had any rain this winter, and we have a major problem. But it rains. So you'll ask, how can I take responsibility for making sure the fire on the altar never goes out? What happens if it rains? What happens if it rains? So the Mishnah tells us among the miracles, the 10 miracles that happen daily in the Beis HaMikdash. Now you understand why the destruction of a Beis HaMikdash is so destructive to us. Because the Yid, a Jew who woke up with doubt or uncertainty, made their way to the Beis HaMikdash and they saw miracles before their eyes. And they said, you know, whatever's going on in my life, whatever distance I'm feeling, whatever doubt I'm having, there's something bigger than me. There's something that makes more sense. The destruction of the Beis HaMikdash meant not only no place to bring karbanos to achieve kapara, it meant no place to witness and experience and feel those miracles empirically. So one of the miracles was the rain never extinguished the fire. Clearly, says the Rav, there was no roof over the altar of the Azara, in the Azara, for otherwise this would not have been a miracle at all. The Heichal was under a roof. Kodesh HaKadoshim was under a roof, but not the Mizbeach. It could not be under a roof because the smoke needed to rise upward. Since the Mizbeach was not under a roof, was exposed to the elements, it was a miracle that the rain never extinguished the flame that burned on it. So the Rav points out, the very fact that it was considered a miracle that the rain never put it out means it was exposed to the elements and the fire continued to burn nonetheless. Perek Vav, Pasuk Vav, next Pasuk. Eish tamid tukar la mizbeach lo sikbe. What seems to be a very repetitive and redundant Pasuk. A fire, a permanent fire should remain on the altar. It should never, ever be extinguished. We have a tradition. I think I spoke about it last year. Matthew Miller, the wonderful, great friend, young man who helps me clip our Divrei Torah. I think he put out a clip of this yesterday or today. That last year we mentioned the Shla already. We're going to repeat it and expand upon it. Otzer Plos HaTorah. Remember last week I complained? The Helaga Machaber, the incredible author of this Sefer, Rav Zuckerman, sent me a copy. He didn't only send me a copy, he wrote the most beautiful inscription to the copy. So I want to publicly express my Hakar Satov. I love this Sefer. Many have mentioned that they purchased it. You see Vayikra? You see how... It's not just that he sent me the Sefer. He paid the postage. I can't imagine what the postage was on the Sefer. Otzer Plos HaTorah. It's an amazing, amazing Sefer. I get no royalties. I did get the Vayikra volume for free. Kasav HaShla HaKadosh. The Shla writes the following. Matzasi Kasav Yad Shel Elokei Moreinu Rav Moshe Kordovera. Rav Moshe Kordovera, the great Mukobol, the Ramak, writes... This is his language. Person is feeling despondent, down, despair, distance from Hashem. Person is feeling tempted to indulge the Yetzirah. You're tempted to watch or listen to or go or say or do something you shouldn't. You know what you have to say? Stop and repeat this mantra, this pasuk, over and over again. Eish tamid tukar al mizbeach lo sechpe. Eish tamid tukar al mizbeach lo sechpe. Eish tamid tukar al mizbeach lo sechpe. Got to keep the fire lit. I'm not letting it go out. I'm not going off my diet. I'm not missing this day of exercise. I'm not breaking my streak of not getting angry. I'm not repeating this Lashon Hara or gossip. I'm not missing a minion. I'm not taking the lazy way out with Kriya Shema Lamita. No way. No way. Why? Because Eish Tamid Tukar Al Mizbeach Lo Sechpe. This fire ain't going out. There's no way I'm letting me be extinguished. Uve'enai Pashit Shezeh Azakin Haya Eliyahu Navi. Shla says, who is the one? Who's the old man who told the Ramak, Rav Moshe Kordovera, who's the old man who told him this tradition, this mantra, this meditation? It was none other than Eliyahu HaNavi. Ulurov anvenusus shel Rav lo ratz legalos. But Eliyahu HaNavi is very modest, very humble. He didn't want to reveal. Al ken ye nizar bezeh b'mishanofa b'liba machsheves oven machsheves hevel. Person who has foolish ideas. Person who has foolish thoughts. Person who has fantasies, thoughts, distractions, temptations. Yomar haPasuk Anizkel El Harbe Pa'amim. Repeat this pasuk over and over again. V'nir be'enai says the Shla Kadosh. Yomar Gamkein haPasuk Safim Sanesi V'Zarascha Ahavti. V'yomar Osa Be'Zoruz Gadol V'Yegibor Ka'ari. You'll roar like a lion. You'll come roaring back. I love the image because the Shla Kadosh Yishaya Levi Horowitz, and even earlier than him, we're going back to the Ramak and earlier. This notion, this new age idea that you sit and you meditate and you have mantras. There are a million apps that you can download right now that give you these meditations, these mantras, and you can repeat them and you can bring calm and quiet and comfort. We don't need that. If there are tools that help you, God bless, it's wonderful. I don't know if anyone has yet, but someone should create the Jewish meditation app where you sit and repeat, Eish tamid tukar al mizbeach lo sechbe. Eish tamid tukar al mizbeach lo sechbe. You breathe. These are our traditions. This is our Torah. What happens is when we see it happening in the secular world, and the more that it's unfamiliar to us, we think it's Eastern religions or we think it's some New Age idea, so we recoil and we say, ah, it's not us. That is us. Get to Mincha 5 minutes early and sit and say, Eish tamid tukan al mizbeach losech beh. Close your eyes and do some deep breathing and see before you this pasuk and repeat and picture the fire inside your neshama that's raging, that's burning. Sometimes it's dialed down and you barely have a spark, and other times it's roaring like a huge fire. But sit and have that image of the fire that is our neshama and repeat the mantra. And don't dismiss it because we weren't raised with it. Could you imagine if before you opened your chumash or your navi or your gemara, imagine if in school in yeshiva, before you opened the siddur and began davening, they would train us to actually take some deep breaths, restore our neshama with neshima, kol neshama talaka, kol neshima. Let's do it. We're going to spend 30 seconds and take a few breaths. We're going to picture this image and we're going to repeat this phrase. And now that we're grounded and centered, and now that we've eliminated those distractions, now let's daven. Now let's learn. Now, imagine, you're all looking at me like I just landed from another planet. But I'm on the planet Shlah. I'm on the planet Ramak, Rav Moshe Cordovero. And then he quotes, this we quoted last year, B'dotza Plos HaTorah, as only he does, digs up from everywhere on the planet. The Heilige Rebbe, Rebbe Elimelech, he writes in his Tzetel Katan, quote, K'sheyevo l'chas v'shalom achshav ra min niyuf, yomer kam apa'anam v'nishmarta mikol davara. If a person has an immoral thought, they're about to breach a boundary of promiscuity or morality, stop and repeat over and over again, v'nishmarta mikol davara, v'nishmarta mikol davara, v'nishmarta mikol davara. Hashem, protect me from anything bad, protect me from myself, protect me from this urge, protect me from distractions. You know what this is telling me? We spoke about it last Shabbat Shuvah, I think. Two Shabbat Shuvahs ago? I don't remember. But we spoke about the notion that there is a moment between the urge and the action. We make the mistake of thinking that when the urge rises, it immediately leads to the action. I have a urge to snack. I'm on, next thing you know, I'm the bottom of the bag of Cape Cod potato chips. And there was never a break. There was never a moment. There was never a pause between. And one of the methods that is highly suggested is to learn and to realize and to embrace the idea to sit on the urge. Now, if the urge remains a minute, 5 minutes later, and you say, you know what? Taka, it's a legitimate appetite. I'm hungry. I'm craving something. It's legitimate. And it's healthy. It's warranted. And it's in the right amount of time. It's the right amount of volume at the right time. Then eat. But if you sit on the urge for a moment, and then you realize, you know, it's not legitimate. It's not a craving that's legitimate. This is the wrong time. And it's the wrong thing I crave. And I don't need it. And I don't need it on my way to bed. There is a pause, there is a moment between the urge and the action. And that's what the Shla, and that's what the Rebbe, Rebbe Elimelech are telling us. They're just telling it to us differently. How do you find that pause? Because imagine every time you had this craving, 12 o'clock at night, I'm speaking about asking for a friend. You had this craving 12 o'clock at night for the Cape Cod potato chips. You had the craving late at night for the Trader Joe's corn chips. But you said, you know, before I eat them, I'm going to say v'nishmarta mikol davar ra 5 times. And then you realized, you know, there was a moment between the craving and the being in the bottom of the bag of the chips. Because you said v'nishmarta mikol davar ra 5 times. The Heilige Rebbe Elimelech told you to. And now at the end of saying it 5 times, you realized kol davar ra is talking about the chips. I don't need it. I don't need it right now. I don't need it at this time. So that pause, what again, it all comes, hafochva v'hafochva v'kula, but look in our Torah, it's all in there. We have wonderful wisdoms today that give us new language, modern vocabulary to communicate these ideas that are accessible to us, but always draw it back. It goes to our Torah. Our Torah had it long before. It's all in the Torah. And that's the Shlach Kadosh, and Rav Moshe Cordovero, and the Rebbe Rebbe Elimelech. They're saying, between the urge and the action, say a pasuk. Find a pasuk. Create a mantra. Adopt a meditation. And if you adopt a meditation or a mantra, you thought you were coming for the Parsha Shir, you didn't realize it was a motivational seminar. Neither did I, until I started speaking. In between the urge and the action, adopt a mantra or meditation. You'll create that pause. It'll change your life. The Chida writes in a Sefer Dvash Nefi, he writes, Shamati mimekubal zakein, shekibel detov lasak meseches mako, shugamatra hirurim levatel eruim roim. You have a hirur, you have an urge, open meseches makos. Learn of shtikal makos. Makos is gematria hirurim. So he quotes all these different individuals. The Shla, Moshe Cordovero, the Rebbe Reb Elimelech, the Chida, to say something, adopt something between the urge and the action, and you'll find much greater self-control in your life. A beautiful, amazing idea. Perek Vav, Pasuk Tes, back to the Parsha Shir. Perek Vav, Pasuk Tes. V'anoseres mena yichlu Aaron v'anav, matzos te'achel b'makom kadosh, b'chatzar o mo'ed yochluhu. Hanoseres, Aaron and his sons will eat what is left of it, eaten unleavened in a holy place in the courtyard in the tent of the meeting, shall they eat it. We're talking about which korban right now, Zos Toras? HaMincha. The mincha was brought by Aaron. It was a very unusual way that they withdrew the flour and they threw it in the fire, and what was left of it, they were allowed to eat. Matzos te'achel, eat matzos b'makom kodosh, in a holy place. Eat them as matzah in a holy place. The Sefer, back to the Imros Tahoros, he quotes from the Heilige Tefer Shleima. He quotes from the Heilige Tefer Shleima, Radamsk. Isa levar remez ha-pasuk. Matzos te'achel b'makom kadosh. We're talking not about the Yontif of Pesach. We're talking about a korban mincha, which was bought with many loaves, most of which were matzah. And the matzah has to be eaten in a holy place. That's the pasuk. Matzos te'achel b'makom kadosh. But the Chassidus Shetzvarim give a homiletical interpretation. Says the Heilige Tefer Shlomo, Ki lefeshen igashim lachol kizayis matzah b'la Pesach, tzrichen lasos hachana lehiskadesh b'kedusha ra'uya. Kedesha b'shas achilas matzah, tikanes b'makom kadosh. Before you can eat matzah, you have to enter a holy place. Make sure that your home, that your life, that you are in a holy place before the matzah enters. Before you go into Pesach, and before you eat the matzah, the mitzvah of Pesach, be a makom kadosh. V'yidei zem amshicham, also makom kedushas Yerushalayim, kedushas olam moed, ad shebashas achilas ha-matzah, nechshav asher b'chatzar olam moed yuchluhu. What does the pasuk say? Where must it be eaten? B'chatzar olam moed yuchluhu. How can we eat our matzah? Again, this is talking about the Korban Mincha, not Pesach. How can we eat our matzah? Because if we transform our home to a makom kadosh, our home becomes the olam moed. Our home on Pesach becomes Yerushalayim. If you look at the first Korban Pesach in Mitzrayim, all the laws of the Korban Pesach and eating it b'chabura in the home, the same laws that the Korbanos had about the boundaries and you can't go out and eat it outside were true of the home. The home took on the rules, the laws, the criteria of the temple of the Beis HaMikdash. Pesach, our home, is each one of us. Our home becomes that place of holiness. That comes that place of holiness. Pasuk says that v'asayaschem al kanfei nisharim. The Targum says that while we were yet in Mitzrayim, Hashem took us on the wings of eagles to Yerushalayim. And what does that mean? Literally, He transported us to Yerushalayim. The airport wasn't on strike. We were able to go. Says another Targum. What it means is, if a Yid comes to the Seder table with the right preparation and the right mentality, no matter where you are geographically in the world, that Seder table, you are transported to Yerushalayim. It has the status of Yerushalayim for that meal and in that place. Now, the Aliyah snobs don't have to all email me. I know it doesn't compare. It isn't Yerushalayim. That's where we belong. That's where we have to go. It's not if, it's when we all make Aliyah. And I mean that seriously. But metaphysically, the mentality is that Pesach night, Seder night, royal and regal Seder night, Hashem has lifted us on the wings of eagles, and all of us, wherever we are, around that Seder table, that is the status of Yerushalayim Ol Moed, of the Chatzar Ol Moed. Tver Shlomo then offers a second interpretation. Achilas ha-matzah b'la Pesach mekadesh ha-sa'adon lios gufo makom kadosh. V'zo matzos ta'achel b'makom kadosh. Achilas ha-matzah po'elas l'hashros kedusha ala adam shi'a makom kadosh. When you eat the matzah, it turns you into a holy person, into a holy place. And the third interpretation is, you see that the prerequisite to eating the matzah has to be b'makom kadosh. You can't put the matzah in your mouth if your mouth is unholy, if your mouth gossips and slanders, if your mouth uses nivel peh, if your mouth uses inappropriate language, if your mouth is unholy, then how could you put the matzah in an unholy place? In a whole matzos yachel b'makom kadosh. The matzah you should eat in a holy place means the holy place, your mouth, should be a holy place where the matzah is placed. Perek Vav Pasuk Tesvav. Here we have Hashem spoke and said the offering of Aaron and his sons, they had to offer on the day they were inaugurated. What happened on the day they were inaugurated? This is also in our parsha. The smearing of the oil, the shuach shemen, the consecrated and sanctified with oil. I just saw an article, Jerusalem Post. Charles, he's the king now, or he's becoming the king? He is the king, but he didn't have yet his inauguration, his installation.
Coronation,
thank you. So they use oil, the British monarchy, to coronate the king. And where do you think that oil is coming from? Jerusalem. They bring oil from Jerusalem, the Mount of Olives. Where do you think they got that from? To coronate with oil from the holy place, Yerushalayim. Lahavdil evdel elef alfei avdolos. That's where they get it from. Lahavdil, our kohanim and our kelim of the mikdash were coronated similarly with an oil. So Aaron and his sons are coronated, they're serving, they are inaugurating, and they have to bring a special offering. A tenth ephah of fine flour as a continual meal offering, half in the morning, half in the evening. It's made on a pan with oil. It's fried. Delicious, like a malach. Repeatedly baked meal offering broken into pieces, offering a satisfying aroma for Hashem. And the coin from his son who was anointed, in his place he performs it. Every meal offering of a coin is to be entirely caused to go up in smoke. It shall not be eaten. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein in his Drash Moshe. Says Rav Moshe Zatzal. HaKohen HaMashiach Tachtav MiBanav Yaseh So Chok Olam. This is a Chok Olam. Tzarech Lavin Mahu Inyan Zeh SheHaKohen HaGadol Makriv B'chol Yom Minchas Chavitin. The Kohen Gadol has to bring a daily, personal, unique, individual sacrifice called the Minchas Chavitin. We have a Korban Yachad, the individual sacrifice. Person made a mistake, you bring a Korban Chatas, sometimes a Korban Asham. Person has to, under certain circumstances, bring a Shlomim, bring an Ola. We have Korban Atzibur, that the community offers a communal sacrifice, like the Korban Tamid. This is the Korban of a Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol brings his own Korban daily, called the Minchas Chavitin. Why? Why every day? Like, it's enough. You inaugurated, you coronated, you celebrated, he was installed as the Kohen Gadol. So bring a special Korban to mark that occasion and to mark your position of distinction. Why does he bring a Korban every day? Zakter Moshe and Drash Moshe. Hakohen Gadol tzarich lahashrish ba'atzmo shelemaro shenitna lo gedula yoser mikol echav einzos kiu mashu miyuchad rako yom matana chadasha. He brings a korban every day because his unique position of distinction is renewed each and every day. It's never owned. It's only borrowed. Whoever you think you are, whatever you think you've accomplished, whatever role you think you have, whatever recognition you think you receive, it could disappear in a moment. It is on loan from Hashem. It is not permanent. Every day you wake up and you are privileged to be a leader in the Jewish people, it is a gift from above. And bring a korban and say, thank you. Thank you. Sometimes it's Birchas HaGomel, but you say thank you. Say thank you every day. What a gift it is to be a leader, to be the Kohen Gadol. So you don't make him the Kohen Gadol once, and now that the Kohen Gadol has been coronated on his throne, he is permanently in that position forever. So he brought a korban once and said, thank you, nu, shine, he's done. The Kohen Gadol brought a daily korban to wake up and remember every day, I'm not better, I'm not elevated, I'm not superior. It would maintain his humility to bring that daily korban and remember every day that I have the privilege to serve in this position is a gift from above and a responsibility from above. Kol yom matana chadasha. He'll be removed. He could be impeached and overturned by the people or the Ribbono Shel Olam, a psul, a mum. Something could arise within him that would make him ineligible. So every day you wake up and you say, I'm still eligible. I could still do this job. Wow, what a gift. You're a public speaker, you're a Rav. Every day you wake up and you say, my voice works. Say, what would happen, Chalila, God forbid, what would happen if a person was struck with an illness, that they lost their voice? How could they continue to fulfill that profession or career that they love? And that's true in every area of life. The gift we're given daily, never take it for granted. Never, ever, ever feel entitled. Never feel it's assumed. It is always on loan from Hashem. And that is the deeper meaning, says Rav Moshe, of the Minchas Chavitin. The daily sacrifice of the Kohen Gadol was, this isn't permanent. Any day you could wake up with a mum and it's all over. Any day they can impeach you, and it's all over. Every day you wake up with the privilege to be the Kohen Gadol in the Mishkan, bring a korban and say thank you. Thank you. That's true not only for the Kohen Gadol, that's true for anyone in their positions of distinctions in life. Perek Zayin Pasuk Yud Beis. Zayin Yud Beis. Flying through the parsha. Zos Torah Zevach HaShlamim. Now we're up to the Shlamim. Which sefer did that correspond with? That was Bamidbar, right? I think. Shlamim. Asher Yakriv Lashem. Im Al Toda Yakriveno V'Yakriv Al Zevach HaToda. We're up to the Shlamim, which is the Karban. One of the forms of a Karban Shlamim is a Karban. Toda. Im Al Toda Yakriveno V'Yakriv Al Zevach HaToda Chalos Matzos Blues Bashemen Urkike Matzos Meshuchim Bashemen. We're up to the Korban Todah, the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Thank you, Hashem. Long before it was a song, it was a Korban. Yam diram diram, Korban Todah. Thank you, Hashem. So, Korban Todah. When did you bring this Korban Todah? So, the Medrash tells us, the Medrash Rabbah, La'asid lava kol ha-karbanos betelim, ve-korban Todah eino batal. In the future, all karbanos will be nullified, but the karban Torah will still be offered. Kol tefilas betelas hoda ina betela. All prayers will be nullified, but the Thanksgiving prayer will still be recited. Hadu dichsev kol sasim kol simcha kol chasim kol kala kol omrim hodu as Hashem tzvakos zu hoda mivi in toda beis Hashem is that karban toda. The Medrash brings that this is permanent. Gratitude is forever. Will never be done. We're never finished. It's never complete. Will never be nullified. The Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch, Or Chaim Siman Aleph, Mizmor Lesoda, writes, we say we don't have the Korban Todah today. Who brought the Korban Todah? There were four individuals who brought a Korban Todah. They were, who were the four individuals who brought the Korban Todah? We have an acronym for it. Chol HaChaim Yaducha Sela. Chol HaChaim, Ol HaChaim Yaducha Sela. So what's the acronym? Somebody who successfully crossed over the sea, someone who was released from prison, someone who healed from an illness, and someone who was released from prison. And the acronym is Chaim, called Chaim, Yodu Chasela, has to thank Hashem. They would bring this Korban Todah. It's Korban Todah. Imad Var Hoda, Al Nes, Nasalok, on Yorda Yam Hochim, Midboros, Chavushe, Bez Asurin, Cholosh, and Isrape, Shain Srikhan Lahodos, Yodu Hashem Chazdo, Veniflos, Lene Adam, Vizbuchu Zivre Todah. So the Machaber says, we don't have the Korban Todah today, but we invoke it, we reference it every day, not on Erev Pesach, because it wasn't offered on Erev Pesach, it had chametz. What is it? Mizmor Lesoda, we recite the little perek, the little capital, capital kuf. So the Mechaber says something very interesting. He says, Mizmor Lesoda should not be said, it should be sung. Or Chaim Siman Nun Aleph, Siftes. Mizmor Lesoda yesh la'omra b'negina, shekol ha'shiros ha'sidus li'batel, chutz min Mizmor Lesoda. All of the prayers, Mizmor Lesoda. All of the prayers and all of the songs will be canceled, but this is Mizmor. It's a song. It should be sung. It will never be canceled. I haven't seen it. Imagine tomorrow morning we give a clap in Shacharis. The Chazan sings like it's Kedusha, Mizmor Lesoda. Good luck. He'll have to bench Gomel and bring a Korban Todah if he survives. If he tries singing Mizmor Lesoda in Shul on a regular Shacharis. So maybe the Chazan's not going to lead us in a Karlbach singing of Mizmor Lesoda, but each of us, in an undertone, a little shtickle niggin, a little song, wake up from Mizmor Lesoda. Wow. Gratitude. Grateful to be alive. Levush adds, Hatam adu leivata Mizmor Lesoda, writes the Levush quote, Kichasada v'tovasav lo yifseku le'olam, k'moshanema ki li'olam chazda. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's goodness and kindness, it is forever, it lasts forever, it goes on forever. So we have these four. Arba tzrichin lahodos. Yorde ayam, hochim midboros, mishayachol v'nizrape, mishayachol v'nizrape, v'yotza. It's a gemara brachos, daf nun dalad. The Rabbeinu Bechaya has a big chiddush. You know who else has to bring a korban todah? A fifth category. Gam besimchas chasen v'kala tzarech lahavi korban todah. If you successfully paid for the wedding. No, just joking. That's also a korban todah. Zel Hashem, listen to what Rabbeinu Bechaya writes in our parsha, Perek Vav Pasuk Beis. Korban Todah bo al hanes, v'hu lashon hodah, imayachol v'nisrapim mevi korban Todah. O sh'ar smachos kegon, simchas chasan v'kala. Shenemar kososam v'kosimcha, mevi in Todah beis Hashem, the end of that Pasuk. So, among those who bring a Karban Todah are a Chassan and Kala. Wow. Look at the divorce rate. Look at the rate of broken engagements. Look at how many dysfunctional, unhappy marriages. It's a miracle. Kasha Kakriyas Yamsuf. We'll talk about, we'll celebrate over Pesach. The miracle of a healthy marriage. It's a miracle. So the Rebbeinu B'chai in our parasha, Otsa Plaus HaTorah, dug this up. Bring a Karban Todah when you get married. When you get married. V'nir levar dvar b'tzoch b'derech drush apima d'isa b'zara kadosh. And he says, maybe you can bring this derech drush. Why? Shemisha ina nasoi ina yachal ha'akriv karban. V'ni b'meshach imihana uramat shenose adam isha b'vada haya pam cholo v'nizrape. Afil tinuk shenimo b'brisu b'geda cholo sheish b'osakana. Api rov haya pam miyerda hayam holchem midbaros koz mat she'apane b'lo isha lo yechot lavi karban toda. Single person can't bring a sacrifice. So he was ineligible to offer karbanos till he's married. Once he got married, he has to retroactively bring a karban toda. Undoubtedly, throughout all of his single years, he was once sick. He once went on vacation somewhere across the desert. Now that he's married and eligible to bring a karban, he brings a karban toda on his entire life until that point. On his entire life until that point. The Imrei Emes brings a different reason. Imrei Emes says, maybe the Rebbeinu B'chaya says, a chassan and kala bring a karban toda, because what happens on their wedding day? Chassan mochlin lo kolav onos of the Mishnah Bikurim tells us that a chassan and kala, they fast on their wedding day, they wear white, she wears a white gown, he wears a white kittel. Why? Because it's their Yom Kippur. It's a reboot, a restart. They are forgiven. Okay, maybe karban toda, kamot cholish and esrape. They were like a sick person who was healed. They were a person with sins who it was erased. And they're like a person who was imprisoned, who was released. They're out of the world of shiduchim. They're released from prison. No more shadchanim, no more resumes, no more first dates. I would say no more first phone calls, but there are no such thing as first phone calls anymore. No more first dates. So it's like you're released from prison. You got to bring a karban toda. In other words, Zakta Imrei Emes, chassan and kala is not a fifth category. Chassan and kala has elements of all four categories. It's like you're sick and you're healed, like you're in prison and like you were released, like you successfully crossed this midbar of being single and looking for your significant other. You all four categories, and that's why a fifth category. Another category, Sefer Chassidim writes, Halavai, Shanizke, we should all merit. He brings another, Sefer Chassidim, quote, Mishagil HaKadosh Baruch Hu Davar Ve'ena Kosva Yachol Lichtov Harei Gozal Mishagil Lo. I quoted this in an article when I started my website, RabbiEfronGoldberg.org, I'll shamelessly plug, where we have all the articles we ever wrote, all the shiurim we ever gave. You could find it all there. Drusha Digest of Pesach Shiurim. You could find it all there. So I wrote an article. Why? Why do that? First of all, to bavorn all the cynics and suspicious people who, oh, the rabbi's clearly leaving BRS because he's making his own website with his own name, or he's trying to monetize it for himself, v'chulei v'chulei. So I wrote an article to explain how ridiculous that was and that none of those are the reasons. But why was I doing it? This Sefer Chassidim. It's not a Sefer. Halavai one day. I have a lot of books written. Just right now, they're still all in my head. So Sefer Chassidim writes, Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam She'akol Nihyeh B'dvaro. But Kadosh Baruch Hu gave you insight. Kadosh Baruch Hu even just gave you the ability to organize other people's thoughts, which is all I do for a career. And you don't write it down, and you could have. Ooh, you're gozal mishagil, you're stealing from Hashem. He gave you the ability to collect and to integrate and to share. He gave you novel ideas. He gave you a vocabulary or the gift of communicating it in a meaningful way, and you don't, you're stealing from Him and you're stealing from others. Kilo gila lo ela lichtov. Sod Hashem nirev uvritzo lahodiyim. V'agoz bris ola me'achida to the Sefer Chassidim. He quotes from the Leva Aryeh, "Bezmanch beis mikdash hayekayim shadom evi korban mischaper lo shadom kosei b'sefer mashalomid eiza chiddush haksiva zu ola lo b'makom korban." When you write down your chiddush, it's like you offered a korban, and therefore he says, anyone who publishes a sefer, they should bring a korban toda. You'd bring a korban toda for having a novel Torah thought, for publishing a sefer. And there were b'merutzas adoros ayahar be'gedol Yisrael shechibris svarim v'atzim lo or olam. And there are many examples, which we won't take the time, but he brings, of great gedolim who experienced miracles, and the result of the miracle they experienced was they promised and pledged to Hashem they would publish a sefer to say thank you. Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, Rav Neubert escaped Europe in flames. He had to get on a boat that was leaving on Shabbos, and he made a promise to Hashem, even though in that situation, of course, saving your life supersedes Shabbos, he said, I'm going to study and promote and teach the laws of Shabbos, and he gave us the gift of Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa. And there are, and he only had, he was only able to Chazar Shabbos, the whole story he writes in his introduction to Shmir Shabbos. And there are other, he quotes many examples here of great individuals who wrote Svarim in response to surviving miracles, and that's their Korban Toda. Their Korban Toda was to write a Sefer. Today we don't have the Korban Toda. What do we do instead? We say Mizmor L'Soda, we sing it, the Shtikel Nigin. If you're in my minyan tomorrow morning and you're sitting near me, I want to hear you singing it, Mizmor L'Soda. But what do we recite today? Someone who meets these four criteria. What do we recite? If you took a flight over the ocean, if you were released from prison, if you successfully healed from an illness, which could be life-threatening, and what was the fourth? The desert. You bench Gomel. Today we bench Gomel. And so on, they would bring the Korban Toda. It was eaten one day and one night, Ad Chatzos. But we've been exiled from our land, and we can't. So Al Kain Tiknu, Chazal established the bracha of Birchas HaGomel. B'makom Korban Toda, we bench Gomel. And that's the four people who bench Gomel. V'chol HaChayim, Chayim is Rosh HaTevos, Ches Chavosh, the Yud is Yam, Yud is Yisurin, and the Mem is Midbar, Chayim. Kol HaChayim, Yoducha, should thank. So these four recite Birchas HaGomel. Who was the first one to bench Gomel? Who was the first one ever to bench Gomel? It's the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Vayomer Yisro, Baruch Hashem, Asher Hitzil Eschem. Tana Mishim Repaipis, Ganayu Lamoshe, Vesishim Ribo, Shalom Amru Baruch, Atshaba Yisro, Vamru Baruch Hashem. You remember we spoke about in Parshas Yisro? How could he say Yisro was the first one to bless Hashem? Not Moshe, not Aaron, not Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, no one before him, not Adam Arishon, not Shem Ve'ever. Remember the answer we gave? It wasn't ours. I already forget who said it. Yisro was the first who thanked Hashem for something that happened to someone else, not himself. True, others said thank you for things that happened to them. Yisro was the first that heard the story about someone else and said, wow, what a story. Thank you, Hashem, for saving him. And it was his son-in-law on top of it. Because of a sifsei kohen, davar nifla. Vayomer Yisro baruch Hashem, zu bracha rishona shenizkar b'torah v'haysa ayado she Yisro, uberach birchas hagomel. The sifsei kohen writes that on Parshas Yisro, what was the bracha that Yisro recited? Baruch Hashem asher hitzil eschem. What bracha did he recite? Birchas HaGomel. Yisrael hayuchayev navarach HaGomel, uba Yisro berach, v'otziyam yidei chovasan. He benched Gomel on behalf of Klal Yisrael. Yisro was the first one to say Birchas HaGomel. He benched Gomel on behalf of Klal Yisrael. And then he has an arichas here, the Otzer Plos HaTorah, the Chidah quotes in Machzik Bracha. Did Avram Avinu bench Gomel when he was saved from Or Kazdim? Rabbi Akiva, when he left the Paradise, did he bench Gomel? We have another form of saying thank you. Not only Mizmor L'Soda, we don't have a Korban Toda today, not only benching Gomel, we have another form, and that is, to sometimes we have a tradition. Me'inyan le'inyan etzal atzayin l'skula beduka menusa le'hinatzal mikol tzar v'tzuka. A truly tested practice to be saved from catastrophes is that if anything ever goes bad or wrong in your life, yoda v'yishabeach l'ashem azeh, you should recite Nishmas Kol Chai. We make the mistake of thinking that Nishmas is something that you only say Shabbos morning, Pesukei Dezimra, part of davening. But Nishmas is a holy compendium. It's a holy, holy tefillah, Nishmas. Nishmas Kol Chai. It is a long Yishtabach. It's a Nishmas. It's a long, poetic, magnificent expression of gratitude. The Ben Ish Chai writes, Shevach zed Nishmas Kol Chai hu yakar u'me'ula ma'od. V'tzarech la'omra b'ni'ima. You have to say it with sweetness. You're going through a whole time. One of the things to do is pledge and promise to Hashem, Hashem, if, when you get me out of this, I'm going to say Nishmas slowly and sweetly and sing it to you and thank you for it. Say Nishmas. The Sefer Chesed La'alafim says it should be recited in front of 10. Kabbalah bi'adenu mi'Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid she'shevach Nishmas Kochai mesuga al kol tzara. The Kabbalah Adam Atzmok Shia Nitzol Mimena. That a person, when they're going through a hard time, you're waiting for that lab result to come back, the pathology to come back. You're waiting for the test to come back. You're waiting in the job interview to hear if you got the job. You're waiting. Make a promise. If this goes well, Hashem, I'm going to sit and I'm going to sing Nishmas to you. Nishmas Kochai. Bodek Umenusa. Apparently it's been tried and tested. Bodek Umenusa to say Nishmas. Rav Dessler has a beautiful insight. Says Rav Dessler, gratitude is a feeling. So why can't you just say to Hashem, thank you? Why did it need a korban? Why did it take an animal and sacrifice it? So Rav Dessler says, because if gratitude remains only a thought and a feeling, if it remains only speech, it's incomplete. If a person really feels gratitude, they take action to show it. When a person really is grateful, they want to repay the debt. They want to express the gratitude. They need to do something to capture it, to display it, to demonstrate it. It's not enough to say it. It's not enough to think it or feel it. You have to do something with it. You have to perform. You have to express that gratitude. We mentioned that the Korban Todah was unusual for a Shlomim. Shlomim, normally you have two nights in a day. Here this, you have less time. So the Netziv makes a famous comment we've quoted before. The Netziv says something very beautiful. You know why you have less time? The Netziv says, you have to have 40 loaves in one day and one night. You got to get a lot of food fully consumed in a very short amount of time. What are you going to do in order to do that? You're going to invite other people. So the Netziv says, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu make the rules of a Korban Todah such that they would lead you to ultimately eating it with many other people? Because you know what else is true about gratitude? If you feel it only in your heart and you don't express it to anyone, how grateful are you? When you're really grateful someone did something for you, you tell the world, you shout from the rooftops. You won't believe what someone did. I'm so grateful, I want the whole world to know. Suda Soda is the other modern day application demonstration of this. But a person is grateful, Hashem, you got me through this illness. Hashem, I survived that car accident. Hashem, whatever you did for me, Hashem, I just want to tell the world about it. So implicit in the very definition of gratitude is something you don't keep to yourself. I feel it in my heart, I don't have to say anything. No, say something. Say something to many people. The more people you say it to, the more grateful you clearly feel. You want to shout it from the rooftops. And that's why the design of the Korban Todah Davka is to have many people. And so in the Sefer Sitcha Elyon, he expands on this idea, and he says, Adam Shemakir Tov LaKadosh Baruch Hu LaChesed SheKibel, Eich Yishalim LaAzem Miyad, HaViyamar LaZdabik Miyad B'Midas Chastos LaKadosh Baruch Hu. What else are you doing by inviting other people to take part of all that food that you need to finish so quickly? You're paying it forward. You're being hospitable. You're being kind and generous. You're sharing. When you're grateful to Hashem, you pay it forward immediately. If after Hashem does something for you, you remain stingy and self-centered and an egomaniac, then are you really grateful? If the gratitude doesn't transform you to want to be more generous and kind and giving and doing, so expanding on the idea of the Netziv is the idea that you have to invite others because you are sharing immediately Hashem's kindness and Hashem's graciousness with us. Kaches Aaron, Perichas Pasuk Beis. Page 580. This was, I was alluding to earlier, the consecration of the Kohanim, the special oil. Kaches Aaron v'zbonav yitov v'zbogadam v'zashem and ha-mishchav v'zparachatas v'shnei ha-ilim v'zkol yidah ha-keel. Gather all the people at Pesach Ol Moed. Bring them all to the opening of the Ol Moed. We're not going to get into it. He has a whole arichas and otzer plos ha-Torah. Do they all fit? 600,000 men from 20 and up, 2 to 3 million people, they all fit Pesach Ol Moed. So he goes into a long discussion. Where do we find in our tradition examples where people miraculously fit where they shouldn't have? The Beis HaMikdash is one of them. This is one of them. He has a big discussion. But he quotes another fascinating thing here. Rashi says, Kaches Aaron, Kachenu Bidvarim Umashcheyu. The Pasuk, Ches Beis. Kach is Aaron. Take Aaron. What does that mean? Grab him by the collar? Pull him? Yank him? Put him on your shoulders? Lift him on a chair? What is Kach Aaron? Zakt Rashi Bidvarim. With words. Appoint him. Anoint him. Elevate him. Says the Otzer Plos HaTorah, he quotes the Chida. Davar Nifla B'Shem Sefer Netzach Yisrael. Kach Aaron Sofei Tevos Chosan. Kachenu betupam mecholos besimcha gedola kemo she'osin lechasan. Kach Aaron, Kach es Aaron, the acronym, last letter, Ches of Kach, the Tav of S, the Nun of Aaron, spells chasen. The same way you sing and dance for a chasen, sing and dance for the appointment of Aaron. So the Sefer Beis Yisrael Sholem says, what was the chida getting at? This is the source for having a party and a ceremony when you install the new rabbi. You may wonder, where do you get that from? I was installed in 2005 here. I have a beautiful, the community gave me a beautiful tefillah. It hangs on my wall. I look at it and recite it when I need to, sometimes for chizuk, a beautiful, beautiful tefillah. And we had a magnificent, Jonathan Marriott was the president at the time, now he's in England. He oversaw, there was no coronation, but it was a beautiful installation ceremony. Where is that? We made that up. That's a modern day invention. By the way, at the time, the shul called around to all these rabbinic organizations. What should that look like? What's done? How do you make it happen? We didn't have a lot of help. It's not done that often. It's more popular today. So what was that? Just a way of raising money for the shul? Making the Goldbergs feel good? Excuse to eat? Why do you have an installation? Zakta chidat pamar parsha. Kach es Aaron chasan. Sof tevos chasan. And this is the minug. So just like you sing and dance, you voted in a new rabbi, a new Av Beis Din. You're installing, says in the Tshuvas Chasam Sofer, Harav Av Beis Din Beiro Kekoin Gadol. Ugashem Shes Akoin Gadol Hayu Mekablam Betupim Mecholos Kedivre Hachida Kain Mekablam Espanei Harav Av Beis Din Besimcha Uverikudim Shel Mitzvah. This is the source of an installation ceremony. An installation ceremony. And he goes on, he quotes more sources along this idea. Rav Bender, maybe we'll end with this. Rav Bender, I love Rav Bender. I saw him recently at a wedding. Such an inspiring person. Such an inspiring person. The pasuk says, Kach Aaron is banav, Vayomer Moshe el ha'eda, Zeh hadavar asher tziva lashos. This is the thing Hashem commanded to be done. Rashi says on these words, Zeh hadavar asher tziva Hashem lashos. Perches. Skip to pasuk. Hey, Rashi says, "Ze adavar dvarim shetiru shani os lefnechem tzivani akash baruch hu lasos." What you see me doing before you is what Hashem commanded me to do. V'altom lechvodi ulechvod achi ani oseh. Don't think I'm doing it for my own glory and honor, or for the glory and honor of my brother. I'm doing it because Hashem said to do it. When Hashem says jump, I say how high. From Moshe Rabbeinu's perspective, it might have been uncomfortable. He understood how the people would perceive his anointing Aaron, the cynicism and the scoffing it might engender. Oh, you know why you're having this big party, pomp and circumstance, this big installation? Because it's your brother. But it was not about him. It was about Hashem's will and nothing else. Asher tziva Hashem la'asos, the one and only gauge of what is right, gauge of what is right. A group of Bachram were on their way to Boston for the wedding of a friend. They had arranged to daven mincha at a minyan along the way, but they miscalculated the time and realized if they would stop, they'd be late for the wedding. Unsure of how to proceed, they called their Rosh Hashiva, Reb Bender's brother-in-law, Rav Chaim Epstein. The Rosh Hashiva didn't hesitate. You're going to be Mesameach HaChasan? How do you think he'll feel if he looks around before the chuppah and his friends are not there? But Rosh Hashiva, one of the Bachrim, protested. I have a streak since my bar mitzvah. I haven't missed a minyan in 8 years. Yiddishkeit, he answered, is not about streaks. It's about what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, and the right thing is to do the mitzvah you're traveling to do, and to do it correctly. Zeh HaDavar Asher Tziva Hashem Lasos. What does Hashem want you to do in that minute? Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't care about keeping your streak going. It's not about not breaking your streak. It's about Zeh HaDavar Asher Tziva Hashem Lasos. What does He want you to do in that moment? In any given moment, what should we be doing? What is the Zeh HaDavar? The mitzvah that's in front of us, the mitzvah that we're doing, that's what He wants us to be doing in that moment and not at other times. That's what He wants. Zeh HaDavar. That is the moment. We're off next week because there's no Parsha next Shabbos. It's Shabbos Chol HaMoed. We'll resume. We won't make it for Shmini because it'll be Yontif on Tuesday. Yontif ends Thursday night. So we meet again the week after, but we'll have a write-up of Mirtz Hashem of last year's Parsha perspective on Shmini. Join us tomorrow night for Behind the Bima with Daryl Strawberry. Very interesting. If you're a Met fan, he won 3 championships with the Yankees, we'll just point out, only one with the Mets. But he's known more with the Mets. He now loves the Jewish people and Israel and fascinating individual. Tomorrow morning, live with Amunah. 10 minutes of meeting. This Shabbos HaGadol Drasha. If you can walk, if you're local, we've got a great Drasha we're working on Maror. Why are we introducing bitterness to the Seder? Why would we want bitterness and pain invoked at the Seder? What is the role of pain in life? We'll talk about that this Shabbos. Until then, have a Chag Kosher B'Sameach. Stay happy, stay healthy. and stay holy.